Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 20th of December, recording at 9:46 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly a little lower. In contrast, European stock markets were mostly a little firmer. We're talking about small moves, still quiet activity, as we saw last week. Wall Street was mostly higher, a little bit firmer in the S&P and the NASDAQ, but only by a quarter of 1% and a tiny loss on the Dow. The Latin American markets were a little bit easier. Brazil down 1%. Long-dated government bond prices. Now, they were firmer for most of the day, although I noticed that the U.S. contracts did not hold their gains and have eased. The U.S. dollar is quietly steady. Dollar index up a bit, back to 80.60. And euro down to 131 and a quarter. Sterling slightly easier at 155. The Aussie dollar a little bit firmer, though, 99.36. Commodities are fairly steady generally. Precious metals are a little firmer. Gold at 1385. Platinum looks like it's at the high of the day in this after-hours trading at 1717. And that's up 14. And silver's a little firmer, up 25 cents. Palladium up about $5. Industrial metals mostly higher, except for nickel, which is down a very little bit. Soft commodities mostly firmer. Grain and bean complex put on some reasonable gains, although it closed off the highs. Corn pushed above that $6 level before closing just below it. Wheat looks like it's broken its little very short-term downtrend. And soybeans also firmed in here today. Crude oil steady at 89. So that's pretty much it. Natural gas up to 4.2. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, more of the same. As I said in my review, quiet activity overall. Stock markets are mostly steady, but there's no doubt that the leadership has changed because the ASEAN group of stock markets in India, which had been very much leaders for a good portion of the year, and particularly from the July lows onwards, they have been underperforming a bit in here, but mostly ranging in that process. We're not talking about big declines. It's not impossible by any means that we could see some additional declines as part of what I see is a medium term, a mean reversion process, something they have not experienced for a while, having been upside leaders, as I mentioned earlier on. Now, a number of European markets are steadier, and Wall Street is steadier. So the Wall Street leash effect remains positive. The China leash effect, we'd really have to say, is neutral, but the Wall Street leash effect is the bigger and more influential one at this stage. The overall background as we end the year for stock markets, I think, is reasonably favorable. Valuations are on the higher side of average, but not by all that much. And valuations are actually on the lower side of average for some markets, notably China. Vietnam, which I've mentioned on a number of occasions, and so they're not, and valuations elsewhere are not all that unreasonable. Bit on the high side in India, but that's also got one of the fastest rates of profits growth. So some of that's is justified. In terms of major influences on stock markets, of course, we still have the negative interest rates. Negative rates meaning that they are below the rate of inflation. Monetary policy is still reasonably favorable. The rise in government bond yields has checked the buying in that sector and undoubtedly led to a little bit of shifting out of fixed interest and towards equities. We do not have a currency crisis. We have currency problems in the Eurozone, that's for sure. We have debt problems in the USA, that's for sure. But we don't have a euro crisis at this stage. It's quietly ranging. And we don't have a dollar crisis, as you know. The dollar, actually, is firm here, having, albeit ranging, but it has, over the last week, it has recovered to offset a small downward dynamic that we saw last Monday. And I wouldn't rule out the possibility of the U.S. dollar ranging a little bit higher in this environment. And one of the reasons for that is because the U.S. economy does continue to show some signs of improvement. Now, in terms of commodities, this remains a very strong sector. This also remains the biggest eventual threat to the stock market and bond market cycles, in addition to being an opportunity at the moment. In other words, I favor overweight positions in commodities here, certainly in the short term. The chart pattern suggests that we are going to see higher levels, and I would certainly expect that in the first quarter of next year. And some of the ones that could move up the most would be the grain and bean complex, with all the agricultural commodities, really. They're really quite steady overall, and the climate change, for whatever cause, or causes, I should say, has played havoc, as you know, with growing conditions, and therefore concern over supplies, or the tightness of supplies, really can very easily lead to higher prices overall. And I think that the agricultural commodities are the ones that are most likely to reflect that. Now, if they go too high and we start getting food riots again, then that's going to be a real problem. But let's wait and see if that happens, and and then act accordingly. I think it would hit government bond markets quite hard, because we would get, I think, central banks moving up interest rates over the inflation concerns. It could worry broader stock markets. It would be good for commodity shares in the short term. Now, as far as the industrial commodities are concerned, again, I think they're still well underpinned. On the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme, the chart patterns here also can certainly support higher levels. That applies to crude, which is holding steady just below this $90 level. At the upper side of a broad, so it's in the upper side of a broad trading range. And I'm not aware of any commodity breaking down significantly from this type of pattern any time recently. And the demand for energy is increasing as Asia continues to boom and other weaker economies gradually get back to some sort of, well, not business as usual by a long shot, but at least put it this way. Go back 3, 5, 6 months, and everybody was talking about double dip for the United States economy. Well, nobody's talking about that here right now. And therefore, it's not hard to envisage a higher commodity prices in here. So that's a near-term opportunity and a medium to longer-term risk. In terms of currencies, well, I've already pretty well covered that. I don't expect to see any really big moves here in the short term, and so that's stability is good, I think, in this environment when there's been so much concern over the last few years. If people don't have to worry about a currency crisis, that's one more thing that they can check off the list of previous worries. And I'd like to see this bond market rally, see yields come off a little bit following the sharp move to the upside that we have seen in recent months. But I mean, technically, the patterns can justify that, but I'm just wondering if the mood shift isn't too important and that, you know, more people, well, the rise that we have seen in long-dated government bond yields in the last 2 months is a real wake-up call for all those bond bulls. And we've heard less talk of deflation recently and more talk of inflation that might be in the pipeline. And inflation in terms of commodity prices is rapidly becoming a reality. Now, last but not least, as far as precious metals are concerned, there's still some mean reversion consolidation going on here. That's a healthy process overall, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some renewed strength in the first quarter of the year, at least. And on that note, all the best.